Hi, and welcome to our latest Pensions Age podcast. I'm the editor, Laura Blows, and joining me to discuss the high yield market and multi-asset credit is Royal London Asset Management's Senior Fund Manager for Global Credit, Karim Suri. Hi, Karim.
Hi, how are you, Laura?
Very well, thank you. So, Karim, to start with, how would you say the recent geopolitical situation and other macroeconomic issues have impacted on the high yield market?
So that's an interesting question. The high yield market has been impacted by both new and ongoing macro and geopolitical issues. What the high yield market has shown is its resilience despite these challenges. So stepping back, when we look at the high yield market, we were concerned about interest rates and inflation for some time, and the concerns regarding these two issues were even present before the pandemic sell-off. So when the pandemic did take place, it created various other issues for companies, particularly on the supply chain side and in terms of revenue generation, given that many of them couldn't deliver their services. But it also led to unprecedented monetary and fiscal support. So what this enabled the high yield market to do was to term out maturities and reduce near-term debt, and therefore refinance risk in the near term reduced. So now we have a maturity wall in the high yield market, which really starts to build from 2025 onwards. So companies have a lot more flexibility than the pre-pandemic. The market has also evolved as it's now much more higher quality. I think that's important to point out that 60% or so of the high yield market, if not more, is comprised of BB credits and then previous investment credits or fallen angels, as we call them. So they're much more mature, deeper capital structures, and they've operated through multiple credit cycles. So overall, a better quality, a high yield market. And when you look at the lower rated part of the high yield spectrum, the triple C's are now less than 10% of the overall high yield market. And even the weaker ones within that have naturally defaulted and rotated out of the high yield market as a whole. So overall, we're better placed from a market perspective, despite the growing macro and geopolitical issues we saw. And another point I'd like to highlight is that the private credit market has grown considerably over the past 20 odd years. And now when we look at various sources of information, we now see that this particular source of capital in some instances represents somewhere in the region of 20% of all available investable capital. So it provides companies with another source of potential financing option, as I'd like to say, or flexibility when they need to address their capital structure or debt. So when we move on from the pandemic and we look at some of the particular issues that came up, I mentioned earlier on supply chain disruption that led to higher input costs and delays for companies and labor shortages, for example. These all translated into higher costs for our high yield issuers. And this was further exacerbated by the war, which not only increased the cost of energy, but it impacted everything, ranging from minings and minerals, food supply chains to semiconductors. So we saw a structural, almost feeling like a structural shift in the cost. And this potential stickiness led to more hawkish financial policy in terms of addressing these inflationary pressures, which is now seeming to be a little bit more stickier than we anticipated. So as inflation increased and rates rose to try to tame this inflation, you know, central banks are trying to manage this very difficult balancing act in order to try to control inflation, but also not negatively impact business and consumer demand too much that it significantly falters growth and the economy. But that challenge is going to persist. So the war and the pandemic brought a lot of these issues into play, but it also brought up one issue which I've touched on in the past is trying to find the right balance between the benefits and risks of globalization. And given the impact of the pandemic and the war, the situation regarding supply chain continues to persist. So I think there's going to be a focus on revisiting how to regionalize and deglobalize certain elements of the value chain to better help to manage their costs. So that can also perhaps lead to a short-term increase in structural costs, but perhaps long-term benefit as it helps to manage lead times. And then the ongoing issue in China, both within China and just geopolitically, also perhaps adds to uncertainty within this area for the corporate high yield market. And when we look at the problems created by the pandemic and the war, more recently, we had further macroeconomic issues, which I think further exacerbate the uncertainty in the economy, is the bank failures in the US and Europe. Now, it didn't directly affect the high yield market per se, but it certainly created a lot more volatility. And what it does bring into question is tighter lending standards and the flexibilities that banks have in order to lend to corporates, particularly the SMEs. And this leads to greater credit concerns and refinancing risk. So I think this risk has been exacerbated by what's occurred in the financial sector, although central banks and policymakers have been fairly proactive in trying to mitigate that concern. But despite the banking sector essentially contracting as banks consolidate. This is offset by what I mentioned earlier, growth in alternative sources of capital that such as private credit, which issuers will have access to. So there's that flexibility that still exists for the high yield market as a whole. So in summary, I think pressure will continue on the high yield market, but I do think it'll be more concentrated primarily towards the lower rated part of the high yield market. So B minus CCC credits, but that's somewhat already reflected in the yield, right? If you look at US CCCs, they're somewhere averaging around 16% as an asset class as a whole. So the cost of capital is effectively being already, risk of that is already being priced in, and you could see it in their cost of capital. I think in general, the risk is going to be more concentrated, but I think that as the high yield market has evolved, it's become more diverse, it's higher quality with deeper capital structures. I think that there's going to be a kind of a decompression in where the risk will be from a credit perspective, and that'll primarily be in the lower part of the ratings category. So overall, it's going to be a challenging next couple of years, but I think the market is much better positioned this time around from a credit cycle perspective.
Okay, that's clearly a lot of examples of the many different uncertainties and changes that we are still waiting to play out. So given this recent market volatility, how is the high yield market positioned for that potential recession?
Yeah, so that's an interesting point too, because I think there's quite a bit of concern in terms of default rates rising. Although we do think defaults will increase, I don't think it's going to be certainly at the same pace we saw during the global financial crisis. The high yield market has evolved quite substantially over the past 15 years. One key point I'd like to highlight is that over two-thirds or approximately two-thirds of the high yield market is high quality, and in particular double B credit. Many of these include former investment grade companies, which are fallen angels that came into the high yield asset class. So these are well-developed, mature companies with deep capital structures and the ability to access the market. Second, triple C's have markedly reduced as a percentage of the overall high yield market. They are now under 10% of the overall market, and that's where defaults tend to be concentrated. And if you look at where yields are in the market right now, triple C yields are approximately 16 odd percent in the US market. And in double B's, you're looking more about 7.5 to 8.5% range. So there's a significant decompression in terms of the risk profile within high yield credit. And that's actually reflected in the credit spreads in the market. So I think overall, high yield market is quite well positioned. The other element that's worth noting is that over the next approximately 12 months, the maturity profile is quite manageable from the high yield market perspective. There's not a significant amount of triple C's coming due in 2023 and 2024, although it does pick up in 2025. But even in 2025, if you look at the breakdown of the debts that is maturing in the high yield asset class, it's actually more focused or skewed towards leveraged loans versus high yield corporate bonds. If you break down the numbers in terms of triple C and lower single B bonds and loans that are maturing in 2025, there are two times more leveraged loans maturing in single B minus in triple C rated category versus high yield bonds. So I think the risk is going to be concentrated in the lower quality. And overall, if you focus on stock selection, you'll be able to manage through this credit cycle.
Okay. And as a result of these trends that are occurring in the high yield market, what is Royal London Asset Management's approach? For instance, are you participating in new issuance or focusing more on the secondary market?
I think we'd look at both. I think right now we're still looking at the new issuance market. And more recently, we've seen high yield issuance pick up quite substantially. So if you look at the US market year to date, I believe it's in excess of $60 billion in high yield issuance, which is trending actually ahead of last year. So that's fairly positive in terms of demonstrating that companies have access to capital. However, that said, there's quite a bit of longer duration high yield coming to the market with tighter spreads in the higher quality names. So in terms of how we're thinking about positioning, we're perhaps less interested in taking that interest rate exposure side of the higher quality high yield market. And we're more focused on the short duration side of the high yield market. So that means we have a skew towards secondary market opportunities in short duration high yield. And what that means is when you look at the high yield credit curve at the moment, it's quite flat. So in terms of from a risk perspective, you're getting paid quite handsomely anywhere between 6% to 7.5% in bonds maturing over the next 18 to 24 months. And that's not too dissimilar to some of the high quality, high yield deals that have recently priced in the market, coming in the high 6% area. So in terms of risk, from a risk and duration perspective, you're getting paid very well in the front end. And that also helps to mitigate volatility and also concerns regarding defaults.
Finally, Karim, how would you say Royal London Asset Management's multi-asset credit strategy can help investors to navigate this current complex market?
I think the benefit of multi-asset credit is that it gives you the flexibility to invest across multiple asset classes, right? And the way we look at credit is we use a credit cycle framework and assess how different assets behave during various stages of the credit cycle. So we're really able to pinpoint and identify the right areas to focus on and then leverage bottom-up fundamental credit analysis to pick the right names for the portfolio. And what we achieve through that is we are able to construct a portfolio which provides us with an attractive yield with a stable source of income. So that income component actually serves as a cushion during periods of volatility. And in particular, we saw that during the war and even during the pandemic, where the income component of the fund helps to provide that cushion. Secondly, is that given the shorter duration nature of the fund, we constantly see cash inflow into the fund through repayments and refinancings made by the company. So what that means is when the cash flow comes in, we can reinvest those into the best opportunities that are available at that point in time. So it keeps the fund naturally dynamic while enabling us to identify the best place to be invested at that point in time.
Okay, Karim, I'm afraid that's all we have time for. Thank you very much for joining me, and thank you everyone for listening. Goodbye.